RTE2FM. Now, bipolar is a disorder that comes in very different forms, but it can affect how you think, how you feel, how you behave, and how much energy you have. Now, 3 years ago, Sinead Keating fought off a shocking case of morning sickness when she came in to tell me all about it. And she's back today for World Bipolar Day 2023. But she's not alone this time, because Julie Redden, who is a 21-year-old student nurse, is also here to tell her story. Thanks for coming in, ladies.
Good morning.
Thanks, really.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Happy World Bipolar Day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Julie, how are you doing, first of all?
I'm good. I'm very well today. Thank you.
And you were diagnosed, let's talk about this. You were diagnosed with depression 4 years ago and you got great support, but felt there was more to it, didn't you? So why was that?
It never just felt right. It wasn't just, I didn't just feel down. And I always remember in school, my teachers used to always know me. My supports used to know when I was really energetic and going around. They used to know there was a low coming. They just used to know me so, so well. My family, everyone around me used to know me so, so well. And it was the first actual thing that came to my mind when I was diagnosed. And that was really... Yeah.
Do you remember being diagnosed and what that felt like?
Yeah, I had just joined the Adult Mental Health Services. And I was in denial at first because I didn't know what bipolar is, like many people. Mm. But when I researched it, it just clicked. That was it.
So everybody else around you knew the down was coming. Did you know it was coming?
I was in denial.
Okay.
Now I prepare.
Okay.
But I used to be in denial. No, no, I won't. I won't go down. But yeah.
It was coming.
Yeah.
And I suppose with getting diagnosed, you're able to kind of tool up and have the tools to deal with what's coming. And
yeah,
you're
exactly.
Prepared.
And prepare when I'm in my, when I'm good. Yeah.
So when you got your bipolar diagnosis, did it help? So it must have helped just explain some of what you had lived through as a teenager. And did it all kind of make sense? And was there a sense of relief?
Yeah, there was definitely a sense of relief, but there was also a sense of dread how others would react to it. And if I could live a normal life, if I could actually be a nurse, but I can live a normal life and I want people to know that.
Sinead, does that sound familiar to you?
I suppose my I just feel a little bit different. I, when you were talking about you weren't ready for your diagnosis, or you weren't ready for feeling unwell, or you know, whatever was
she didn't
down
know the
road.
Down days
yeah.
was coming. Yeah,
I when I got my diagnosis bipolar, I asked if that was what I had, because I knew that that was what I had, and I was full into this is what I have, and I was prepared, I suppose. Well, you can't ever really be prepared, but I had a very clear idea of what bipolar was. I knew that it ran in previous generations in my family. It made sense to me why I had it. And so, yeah, it's just been maybe it's just sounded a little bit different to Julie, but I suppose I don't feel like I live a normal life. I don't mean that in a really sad way, but my life is different than it otherwise would have been. And that's just the reality of it. I feel I've lost a lot of time to it.
Because,
and I have a great life now.
Yeah.
But I lost my 20s.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
I'd got my diagnosis at 21 and I'd been sick for 10 years before that, not knowing what it was. So I was just having back-to-back hypomanic episodes. So being really anxious, loads of energy, not sleeping, but like panic central. Or, you know, I was just having panic attacks all the time. And I just thought that that was going to be my life. And I got my diagnosis and I was so aware that it was lifelong and very serious. And also I felt relieved because it wasn't my fault. But my diagnosis didn't go down well with people around me. There was a lot of denial and disengagement.
And that must be very hard.
It was awful. It was really terrible, and I was just lucky I'd met my husband when I was 17. So I always had someone. I had the one person.
Julie,
so,
did you
yeah.
have someone? Or was everybody quite supportive? Did you have to have that battle as well with friends and family?
A lot were in denial at first till I told them, well, we explained what bipolar was, and they're like, that's you. That's you to
okay.
a T. And a lot wanted resources, wanted ways to help. Everyone, I had a rare experience that it didn't go down well. And that was really, really tough to deal with.
So it's interesting. I'm so glad the two of you are in, because the highs and lows is very similar and something that you both experience. But I guess it proves the complexity of the condition in some ways. They're very different experiences as well from both of you. Given examples of that, having very different. Everybody deals with this and goes through it very, it's so different for
everybody. Is different. And I exactly. think that's the thing about bipolar, that, you know, we all have our own genes and our own personalities exactly. and our own experiences, and all of that shapes how you experience bipolar. And so it's never going to be the same. And so you can have a rough understanding. But I always feel that for somebody looking from the outside, that'll get you maybe 50% of the way to understanding what it's like for somebody, because the rest is all personal.
So you get diagnosed, you're in your early 20s. A sense of relief, but also a little bit angry. Maybe you've lost so much time. What happens next?
Couple of impatient days. My home away from home. There was just a lot of struggling to try and learn how to look after myself. You know, I didn't understand what self-care was, and I had to have a therapist say that to me quite baldly, that I neglected myself. I just thought it was selfishness to care for yourself. That was just the value system in which I was raised, that you put everybody else first. So it was the 10 years of trying to learn that, no, I'm deserving of looking after myself. And I reached that when I was about 30. And then I went into having kids, and sure, that just was a mess.
So so you must have had, you know, constant visits to the doctor and a therapist. And and then is it medication and self-care? Is it all of it? Is it trying different things?
Well, personally, it took a long time for me to realise that I need counselling when I'm in my highs, as when I'm in highs, lows and good times.
Okay, it's consistent.
It's the most important to talk through it all.
Okay.
And prepare. I have to prepare for my lows. And everyone wonders, why is she so ahead in college? All this. But I don't know when a low is coming. I have a fair idea, but I don't know. And I want to be prepared.
Mm. Can we talk about the low days?
We can.
What does that feel like?
It depends on how. They don't get as low with medication anymore, I found, thankfully. But low days can go from just feeling a little down to not being able to get out of bed. Thankfully, I don't get the ones where I'm stuck in bed too often. But
do you see that as progress? Do you?
Yeah.
Great.
It's something I'm scared. I'd be quite fearful to be them days when you're stuck in bed. But you kind of feel like you're bothering everyone, but you know you're not. It's fighting the thoughts in your head. And that's really it. And trying to carry on a normal routine, I know it's really difficult. It's exhausting. I find I have to sleep 12 hours every night, and everyone's like, that is crazy. But that's my priority because there's so much going on in your head all day. It's exhausting. It really is exhausting living with bipolar. And
it sounds exhausting. Yeah. And it sounds constant.
It is, yeah.
It's not something that ever kind of leaves you. It's just something that you guys have to learn to live with and manage.
Yeah.
And it's like this other person in your life.
It's a presence. It's a presence in your life. The way I feel about it now is that it has to come into every room with me. Yeah. So no matter where I am, if it's my family, if it's my friend circle, if it's my work, bipolar comes with me everywhere, and it impacts my life to a significant degree. So if I walk into a room and bipolar is not allowed in a seat at the table with the people I'm in the room with, that's a big problem. So I think I only got really, really well about a year and a bit ago. And most of that was because I ended some relationships that needed to go.
Can we talk about you becoming a mother? Because when we spoke to you last, you had reduced your meds with the help of your doctor to have a family. Can I ask you, how do you feel new mums with mental health issues are treated in Ireland? How do you view that?
I mean, my experience was not good. There was no way I could have prepared for that. When I came in to see you, I had great hopes that it would all go well, and I had seen a perinatal psychiatrist in order to prepare for becoming pregnant, and I'd done all the prep. And COVID kicked in just before my girls were born. I'd had the help of a perinatal mental health midwife in the hospital, which was fantastic. But afterwards, support just vanishes. And the only thing I was offered was medication. There was no therapy available at the time. And in general, when you're a new mum, particularly, you just left.
With twins. You're just left. Twins, let's just point out. You had twins. They arrived. Did you see your condition coming back with a vengeance? Did you foresee that in your pregnancy?
I just thought I was having normal, like, you know, baby blues.
Yeah.
Unhealthily named. It really hit me like a train. But I began to panic. I was doing that thing of like, try to sleep when the babies sleep. And I would lie down and I would just panic. I was feeling so overwhelmed. And I told the perinatal psychiatrist this, and she said, well, I think you're just going to have to let that go. And I thought, that's grand. I should just let it go. I'll be fine. And I managed the first 8 weeks really well. And I went downhill quite quickly. So when they were 10 weeks old, and I had my first ever thoughts of suicide. And I'd never had that before. In the 25 years I've had bipolar, I'd never thought about dying before. And so that frightened the life out of me. Yeah.
How did you get back from that? You know,
I went straight into a depression, which I don't, you know, Julie's been speaking about her low days. You know, I didn't really have that. I just had back to back hypomanic episodes. And I'd only ever had a couple of episodes of depression, maybe in my late teens, early 20s. And I went into a depression for almost 2 years. So it was awful. I did not experience one moment of joy with my children until they were 20 months old.
Wow.
And then things got better. So it's great now, but it was a slog. I think the perinatal mental health services are poor.
They need to improve.
Yeah, we don't have any inpatient treatment for new parents to go with their babies, which is just awful. If you need to go into inpatient treatment, which if I didn't have my girls, I would have done. But I couldn't go in with my girls, and that's a big separation to be facing. And I managed to stay at home. But it was hard. It was not a good time.
And the length of time is shocking to me that you were in that state before you rebalanced yourself.
Yeah.
That's time wasted again. I mean, we're talking a lot of time wasted over the course of your life with this.
Yeah.
And with this condition, right?
I had so much guilt about not enjoying my children. And, you know, everybody's saying, enjoy the baby stage. It's great. I was like, this is absolutely awful. And I hate it. And I love my children. But I lost a lot of time.
And then the guilt and the losing the time, and that makes you feel worse. And then it's just...
And what are they missing out on? It's COVID, and they're missing out on everything anyway, and not giving them enough. That was all rough. Even if I hadn't had a mental illness, the new motherhood stage with COVID and lockdown would have been hard anyway. So then to throw in bipolar and lack of sufficient support services, I think it was always going to not go well.
When you were having thoughts that severe, I mean, what services are out there for people?
I just rang the perinatal psychiatrist and I said, these are the thoughts I'm having.
There is Samaritans.
Mm. And, do you know, even separate from the perinatal stuff, AWARE has a Living Well with Bipolar program.
Okay.
And it has a family and friends support program. It's the only program I've ever come across that's specifically for bipolar. And bipolar is not depression. It's a different condition altogether. Yeah. And I think that when we speak about mental health, which we do more now, but I do see that what we speak more about is mild to moderate depression, anxiety, which are really important health issues to speak about. And they are not the entirety of mental ill health. Speaking about depression is not the same as speaking about bipolar. And so it has to have its own specific supports. And so the fact that there is at least one program in the country to support people with bipolar is amazing.
Julie, you do lots of charity work. Does that help you with your condition, do you think?
I haven't done it in a good while. I don't have time. But it used to help me an awful lot. Giving helps. It makes you feel that sense of...
You're not alone.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great feeling. And it's something I actually really enjoy. And I hope when I do my degree, I get more time to volunteer and hopefully link that in with my nursing. And yeah.
How's life now?
Life is okay. It's ups and downs. But I just try to link in with every bit of support I can get. Between the college, my family, my friends... or the adult mental health services, whoever I can link in with, the more help I can get, the better.
Do you think with time, Do you think with time you become a master at managing this condition? No. Do you know what I mean? No.
Never. I don't know. I haven't had it that long, but I don't think I will ever become a master fully. I'll be able to prepare a bit more.
Okay.
But I don't think I'll be able to ever fully know what's coming.
Where can people find out the services that Aware provide for people with bipolar? Is it online?
Aware.ie.
Okay.
But there's also a support line, 1800 80 48 48. And there's also support mail at aware.ie, which is support email service, which I would always use because I hate phoning anybody, and it's great that there's an email service, and that's a service that I volunteer on. I would highly encourage anybody to seek out any support that is available. To even if I often feel like I don't deserve services, because I'll think, well, there's somebody worse than me, and that just doesn't matter. If you're having a bad time, you're having a bad time, and anybody else's bad time doesn't make you feel better. Access anything that is available to you. We all deserve to have the best quality of life possible. We make better contributions to our family, to our communities, to our workplace when we're well, and just for ourselves, that's just what we deserve. And so for anybody, or for a family member who has a loved one and they either have a diagnosis or it's suspected that they have bipolar, it's so important to engage in services. Get everything you can.
Knowledge is power.
It
absolutely
is. And I think, I know you're saying you don't feel like you can be a master, Julie. I feel now, obviously I'm quite a bit older. I'm 15 years older than you, and I feel like, yeah, I have a good handle
a
on
good
it. I know it inside out. I know myself inside out.
Hopefully I'll get to that stage.
You will.
I think you can. I think you can. And I'm not saying our stories are the same, because obviously no two stories are the same. But when I got my diagnosis, I was 21. I thought life was going to be awful. That's genuinely how I felt. And life is not awful. Life is great. And bipolar's there, and it's horrible, and it's never going away. But life is great.
What did you call the twins?
Oh, I don't want to mortify them, because they're going to grow up. One of them also has an unusual name, and love her. One of them got an unusual name, and one of them got a common name, and they're just going to look back and be absolutely embarrassed by me. So I won't mortify them anymore.
So how old are they now?
They're going to be three in a few weeks. I don't know where the days are long and the years are short, and I enjoy spending time. They are awesome little people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And nursing. Going well?
Good, yeah. Another year left, so.
Nearly there.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming in and telling your very different stories, but both incredibly important to hear. Sinead Keating and Julie Redden, thank you so much for joining me today. And if you want to know more about bipolar, if you think someone in your family may have it, or you're listening to this going, God, I have similar situations and similar things happen to me, please get in touch with aware.ie. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.